You know, what historic times we live in. Just this past week, Great Britain, in the referendum called Brexit, voted to leave the European Union and stunned the world, literally stunned them. I mean, even the bookies got it wrong. That's big, because the bookies usually get it right. Regardless of what you think of the vote, regardless of whether you're in the camp of remain or leave, the choice was for nationalism, not globalism. A change in immigration and economic policies. The elites, even at this moment, think it's a very bad choice. But the majority of the British citizens have had a resounding victory in terms of, let's say, the democratic process. So my message isn't going to be all about this today, although it easily could be. But what it is about is this. Sometimes you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. And at times those choices are incredibly difficult. They are agonizing. They are painful. And sometimes they're very exciting and wonderful, like a dream fulfilled. And a choice is all of those things. But sometimes you have to make a choice. And today in the second lesson of Galatians, we read about such a choice. So I invite you to turn with me to that scripture in your bulletin, because we're going to spend some time in there about the choice that is before us as Christians. In this particular text in the Bible, Paul is calling the Galatians and calling all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to simply walk in the Spirit, to be guided by the Holy Spirit. That's the whole essence of Paul's argument and what he's encouraging the Galatians to do in this particular chapter here today. And what Paul is sharing with you and me is that there is a battle that is going on inside of us. It's an incredible battle between the Holy Spirit and our sinful nature. And they are both diametrically opposed to one another. In fact, if you look at that word opposed in the Greek, it is rendered anti-chemai. That word, the part of the word even at the beginning, anti, should give you a clue about what's going on in this word. It means to resist. It means to constitutionally, in the very gut of each of these different parties, to be opposed to one another. And another aspect of this word opposed is that they are irreconcilable. They are oil and water. They are dark and light. They will never, ever mix. So if anybody in here today came in with the illusion that somehow you were going to be able to walk the tightrope of living in your sinful nature and yet still being filled with the Holy Spirit, let me forever break that in your mind. Let me forever get rid of that for you. It is impossible. In fact, it's one of the reasons why some Christians to this day are so miserable and so confused. It's because you need to serve somebody, like that famous Bob Dylan song goes. You have to choose who you're going to serve. And some of you are saying, I want to serve both. It's not a choice. It's not going to work. And that's why you're miserable. That's why you're struggling in your heart. That's why you're in pain, and that's why you're not at peace. We read in the scripture today in verse 16 in Galatians, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So again, you hear the resounding words of Paul that keep coming back and coming back to make his point. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Don't walk in your sinful nature. Follow the Spirit of God. Walk in the light. Make a choice for God. And as he goes through this text in Galatians, what he lets us know is that walking in sin looks very different from walking in the Spirit. You know, there was a whole part of our culture, and even within the church during the 60s, where it wasn't cool to talk about sin anymore. I mean, even in the seminaries, they wouldn't even mention the word sin except to debunk it and get rid of it. That was some kind of anachronistic, mythic thing from a long time ago that doesn't really have relevance today. Well, not according to the apostles. And if I have to choose between some of the modern-day seminary professors in our culture and our world and the apostles, I'm going with the apostles. And they are saying that there is sin. And even if you want to try to say it doesn't exist and it's not real, guess what? There is sin. The sinful acts that are talked about here in Galatians, take a look at them. Sexual immorality, and it goes on and on about that, and the like. He goes on to say that anyone who lives within the sinful nature over time will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you have to remember, Paul was talking to a church. He was talking to a Christian church. He was talking to a group of people that proclaimed Jesus as Savior, at least, but on some level, not as their Lord, because they weren't following them in terms of how they were living. They were sleeping together. They were committing all kinds of acts of immorality, getting drunk, stealing and robbing, lying to each other. And Paul says, if you're living this way, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Hear that. Sometimes we get too smug. And that's dangerous. Impurity, idolatry, hatred, discord, jealousy, gossip, factions, drunkenness, rage, deceit, manipulation, lying. Now, I want to ask you a question. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands today. Thank God, because my hand would be going up too on some of these. So I'm not asking for a show of hands. But I want to ask you, and I'm asking myself as well, which sin or sins are part of your life? Let's just be honest. Some of these, you'll read them, they're not even a part of your life. They're not even an issue. Maybe you're 7 out of 10, you're good. I'm going into the bell curve because I know how you guys think. I'm going right into it. Well, I'm 5 out of 10, so I'm halfway there, right? Not really. So I'm asking you, what sin or sins do you really struggle with? And what sin or sins has your family struggled with as well? Because again, generationally, you will find a pattern in terms of sin and different things that go on within a family, they tend to carry on through the generations. And so think back, even in your own family, what are some of the patterns of sin that happened in your family? And they may have never been even named it as a sin. It was just part of the way that people lived. You know, the grandpa coming home late at night, drunk as a skunk and beating the heck out of his wife and the kids watch on. That was just how you grew up. That was part of the family. And the son is carrying on the legacy. And by the way, I believe in the idea of alcoholism and drug addiction and all that. There's an addictive part to it, but the scripture also calls it sin. It's both because of how much it destroys lives, I believe, and how much it isn't a part of what God has for you. And so I ask you here right now, look at those sins and be honest about which sins are in your life. I think a lot of times what you and I do is we're not honest with ourselves. You know, we have maybe tried to overcome this particular sin or sins that are in our life, and it's got a hold of us. We are in a cell. We are locked up. It's got us hook, line, and sinker. We are in the dungeon of our own darkness, and we can't get out. And you know, we've just given up on ourselves. I don't even think about that anymore, Father Joe, because really, if I was honest with you, that is so much a part of me that that's just how it is. Well, at least be honest about it being a sin. It's a sin before God, and I want to talk with you in just a moment about how you and I might be set free from those areas. Here comes the fun part. a little bit later on in Galatians, take a look at the fruits of the Spirit. What does it look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, here's something you could begin to smile about. Consider some of the fruits of these that are in your life. There might be, you might have a wonderful botanical garden of these happening in you right now. I mean, you might be a wonderful, gentle person, a loving person who's hospitable. That is so great. Celebrate that. Everybody has some things that are darkness in them and some of them as well that are light. And we need to celebrate the good and the wonderful ways in which the Holy Spirit is moving through you as well. So take a look at some of those things that I've just mentioned. What are true of you? What fruits are a part of your life? What fruits would you like to see grow? Maybe you're impatient. Maybe you have a hard time with self-control. Maybe you're struggling with loving somebody. So begin to be honest about those areas where you'd like to see some growth, and those are things that you and I can begin to pray into. But you need to realize something here today in light of this very historic week in which we are living. In this battle between your sinful nature and the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to choose a side. You're going to have to make a choice. You're already serving somebody. It's just a matter of who. And you need to make a choice. And my encouragement to you here today, and the Apostle Paul's encouragement to you here today, and the Holy Spirit's grace to you here today, is to choose to walk in the Spirit. Choose that. Choose sides. Otherwise, you're constantly going to be miserable and confused. Do you want to live like that? Do you want to constantly be miserable and confused? You know how that is. You come on the edge of that sin that is your favorite mud hole, if you will. It's right there. You've been there a thousand times. You go back in it, and then what happens? The same stuff that has happened 1,000 times before. Oh, I can't believe I did that. I'm sorry, God. I will never do it again. We've all done that. We've all been there. And if you're in the camp of incredible shame, where you feel like your darkness and your sin is so grave and so worse than anybody else in this place or in this world, again, I would invite you to look toward the light of the Holy Spirit and the mercy of Jesus. And let me just say, without betraying any confidences in this place or all the places I have been and things I have heard, you'd be surprised. You're not alone. And each one of us here in this place, given the right circumstance and given the right challenges, are capable of incredible depravity. And if you do not think so, you are not a student of history or even of your own life. See, there's a certain humility that's here. We need to have a certain awareness of what we're capable of in terms of our sinfulness. Every human being, it is level ground before the cross, just as I am. It is level ground there. There is no ego. There is no pride. There is no, I've done it on my own before the cross of Jesus. We're there because we need him. Choosing sides begins to move you in a specific direction. And that's what you and I need to begin to do. We need to choose a side, especially in the areas of sinfulness where we struggle, and begin to ask God for the grace to choose his side. You know what? If you have a repetitive sin, if you continue to commit a sin in your life time after time after time, and again, we all have them, you're in the camp of that sin. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's why you keep on doing it, and that's why you keep on going back to it, is because you've chosen that side for some reason. And for those of you who have given up hope in that area of your life, I just want to say to you, there is hope in Jesus. There is hope in him, and you need to keep going back to him. Seek the Holy Spirit's power. You're not going to do it on your own. If that is your sense that I can't do this, it has overcome me, it is greater than me, it has me in shackles, you're absolutely right. Correct. You are defeated. But you serve a Lord who sets captives free. It's one of his specialties. You serve in the influence of the Holy Spirit who can empower you to move in a new direction. But you need to seek the Holy Spirit's power. Romans 8:13, write that one down. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. And that's key. If by the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. That's the key of Romans 8:13. That's a key for you and me. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to put to death the deeds of our flesh, those sins we were looking at earlier, then we shall live. So how do you do that? Let's just get practical for a moment. How do you do that? Well, let me share some of the ways that I've done it and that are beginning to work after, lo, these many decades. My prayer at those places of my life becomes very simple. And the simple prayer is, God, please help me. Because I'm beaten. I've lost. And to be honest with you, God, I love this sin. It's a part of me. It's a payoff for me in some ways. It feeds me. It makes me feel good, maybe helps the pain go away for a little while. Sound familiar? In some ways, I love it more than I love you. But would you please help me to begin to know what it looks like and feel like and live like to love you more than the sin? Lord, help me. Help me, Holy Spirit, to begin to overcome this sin in my life. Guide and direct me in your word. Be in the scripture about, maybe about lust, maybe about drunkenness. It says, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's one of the directions for those who struggle with addiction. You know, again, I've shared about this before. We are people who are called to be high. It's just we're supposed to be high in the Holy Spirit, not high in drugs, not high in alcohol. We have a world of addicts on substances, and they're meant to get high on the living God. We just need to redirect them. And those are the answers that you and I need to begin to have. Another thing that by God's grace I'm beginning to do, and I'm still learning, but I just share this with you. When I'm walking by the mud hole, and it's looking mighty fine, I don't know about you, but when I get near one of my sins that I love and one of my mud holes, it's like everything just goes away. I forget everyone and everything, and it's like, man, there's the mud hole. And I've been in that mud hole a few times, and I know how good it is, for me at least. I love it. Before you're about to jump in the mud hole, would you just take a moment to look away from the mud hole and look to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me not to jump into the mud hole, into my sin. I'm not all the way there yet. But I've had some victory. I've had some moments where I didn't jump in the mud hole. I couldn't believe it. I knew it was God. It wasn't me. It was a God thing. I would have been in that mud hole. It was a God thing, only because by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, I took a moment and I said, Lord, help me. That's all you got to say, because he knows what you're praying about. When you have that opportunity for that choice morsel of gossip, when you have that opportunity to tell that lie that you're so used to telling and it gives you a little bit of payoff, when you have that opportunity to do that thing that you aren't supposed to do, that you feel guilty about later on, just take a moment to look away to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. And see what the Holy Spirit will do We need the Holy Spirit's power to move from impurity to holiness, from hatred to love, from gossip to prayer, and from idolatry to worship. We need an anointed perseverance. You need to choose a side in the depth of your heart right now. You need to make a choice. Even if you don't really feel like it, even if you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I really want to make this choice or not, Lord, in faith, will you help me to want to choose you? You can even do that. You're not laughing, but you're thinking. That's good. You're thinking about it. This is encouraging. We're getting somewhere. We need an anointed perseverance to walk in the Holy Spirit. You need to serve somebody, and you need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to move from your miserableness, your confusion, your choice of sin, and move to the living God and to the freedom that he has for you. That sin looks so great. Oh, it's wonderful. But it's nothing compared to the freedom in Christ that he has for you. When you're finally able to move away from it, you'll come to the point of believing, how did I ever do that? I mean, talk to somebody who's been an alcoholic for a good part of their life and they finally get sober night and day. Different people. Free, sober. They have a mind. They can speak. They can make choices. They're a human being. They're not a drunk anymore. They're who God made them to be. It's beautiful. Beautiful to behold. The other thing I will say to you is abide in the presence of the Holy Spirit. As you're able to be in the light of the Holy Spirit, as you begin to experience victory, stay there. That's what I find to be the hardest part. Just stay there. Worship God. Pray to him. Be in the scripture. Go for a spiritual walk. When something is tempting you here, go outside and go for a walk with God and just pray. Go in a different direction, but abide in the Holy Spirit's presence. And as you and I do that more and more, guess what? We're going to be in the light more and more rather than the darkness. And then the light will overcome the darkness by his grace. You need to make a choice. I've made a choice about how I'm going to pray for you. It's good. It's all good. I remember this poster of an old washing machine with the rollers in it that my grandma had on the farm. How she used to dry clothes. And in the washer was this rag doll halfway in, halfway out. And at the top caption it read, "The truth will set you free. But before it does, it will make you miserable." Hallelujah, that is so true. That is so true. You're not laughing again. You're not laughing again, but you will one day. The truth will set you free. But before it does, it will make you miserable. In the days of the great western cattle ranches, a little burro would be harnessed to a wild steed. Bucking and raging, convulsing like drunken sailors, the two would be turned loose like Laurel and Hardy, to proceed out unto the desert range. They could be seen disappearing over the horizon, the great steed dragging that little burro along and throwing him about like a bag of cream puffs. They might be gone for days, but eventually they would come back. The little burro would be seen first, leading the submissive steed in tow. Somewhere out there on the rim of the world, the steed would become exhausted from trying to get rid of the burro. And in that moment, the burro would take mastery and become the leader. This is my prayer for you, and this is my prayer for me. May God tie the burro of the Holy Spirit to the wild steed of our sin, that the Holy Spirit would take mastery and become the leader in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.